It is my privilege to be here today. I enjoy the opportunities anytime I have to bring God's message. As you know, today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the Prince of Peace. And we think about peace. The scripture says, "For unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." There are two phrases that we often hear during this time of year. Many people may wish us Merry Christmas. Others will share, "Are you ready for Christmas yet?" You know, it's easy to respond Merry Christmas back to them. And it's also easy to say, "Well, not yet, but I'm getting close. Just a couple more gifts to purchase." Sitting at the registration desk at the pantry where I am director, many of my clients will say something different to us. "I wish this Christmas stuff would be over with. I can't take any more stress and frustration." Has anyone but me found yourself under too much pressure this time of year? It seems we're all so busy and we find ourselves running around trying to make everything just perfect, the decorations so festive, and a perfect gift to be found. Yet we feel we just don't have the strength to do one more thing. Unfortunately, we don't feel like we'll ever be done with Christmas because busyness has stolen the Christmas peace from us. The pressures of the world have created so much unrest in our lives and in the lives of people we see every day. Is it truly possible to have peace on earth? Or is it just a dreamy part of the Christmas story? On that first Christmas, the angels proclaimed peace on earth to the shepherds. But has there ever been a time when we've seen world peace? Every day we hear just the opposite. The newspapers, the news reports on television are full of war, hatred, people taking advantage of others, families falling apart. It certainly doesn't seem like peace on earth, does it? Yet Jesus came so we could experience peace. In John, the 16th chapter, in the 33rd verse, it tells us, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." And a couple chapters before that, in John 14, the 27th verse, Christ is saying, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus has promised peace. Did he keep his promise? Why is he called the Prince of Peace? This year and every year at Christmas and throughout the year, Jesus gives us three different kinds of peace that's available to us. The first kind of peace Jesus offers us is peace with God. In the Old Testament, we find that God had been silent for 400 years. God had spoken to the Israelites through the prophets, but the people were never satisfied. They demanded a king, and God gave them their demands. He gave them their kings, but he didn't speak to them through the prophets. He was silent. In fact, the Bible says because of their sin, it separated them from God and they became enemies of God because of their sin. We're no different today. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That all includes every one of us. It's all inclusive. Sin separates us from God, and we're not at peace with God. That's why Jesus came on that first Christmas. He came to offer us peace with God. A peace treaty needed to be signed with God, and it was signed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we are reconciled to God. There's a portion of Scripture in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 13 to 18, I think we should hear. In Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who had made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For though through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. In Romans, the fifth chapter, the first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God can be ours because of Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Has he forgiven your sins? If you believe in him and he's forgiven you, you can be at peace with God. The second type of peace that Jesus offers to us is peace within. We all face inner turmoil because there's a battle raging within each one of us. We have inner turmoil in our minds. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Philippians, the fourth chapter, the eighth verse, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Where does your mind tend to wander? Is it all about revenge and retaliation? I was extremely frustrated during the Christmas season, trying to get everything ready for a toy distribution on Friday the 13th to hundreds of families that the ministerial spends thousands of dollars so that families that are in need have toys for their children. One evening while I was serving about 100 people at the food pantry, some of their children were down the hallway in a different part of the building stealing some of the toys for the toy distribution. I was upset, and so was my coworker when she came in the next morning and found all of the empty boxes that they had destroyed and the toys gone. 2 days later, the ministerial was meeting, and I spoke to the ministerial, and we decided not to press charges, but to check the video cameras to see what really happened. When we opened the closet that housed the video equipment, we heard a shrill whistle and hum, and we knew that the backup battery was shot, and there was nothing to see on the video. God seemed to be saying, Ron, let it go. Don't let it ruin the Christmas for your many client families and for you. Just be willing to serve in my name. You know, sometimes we find our minds tend to wander towards selfish desires or regrets for the past. Our enemy, the devil, will always have something to cause our minds to wander toward instead of God. Yet Jesus came to offer us peace of mind. But not only does he give us inner peace of mind, he also gives us peace in our hearts. Colossians, the third chapter in the 15th verse says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, the peace of God that transforms all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't it great to know that we can have peace within? When we get so preoccupied with the things of the world and the pressures of our mind and our heart seems to dwell on all the negativity around us, we need to reach out to Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and forgive ourselves as He's forgiven us and move on. Don't keep allowing the enemy of your soul steal your peace. The third type of peace that Jesus came to offer was peace with others. And we live in a world of hatred and bitterness, revenge and broken relationships, unforgiveness and heartache. I see it every day, and so do you. We let little things break our relationships and our peace with others. Someone hurts us, and we want to get even with them. But Jesus came to offer us a better way. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 14th verse, make every effort to live at peace with everyone and to be holy. In Romans, the 12th chapter, the 18th verse, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. God says that judgment and vengeance are His, and we're called to live like Jesus, to treat people like Jesus did. He was not condemning. But when the woman taking the very act of adultery was taken before Him, He knelt and wrote on the ground. Then He told the accusing religious leaders, "Let him who was without sin cast the first stone." Then He knelt and wrote in the dirt again. Soon all had left, and it was just Jesus and the woman. And He asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she replied. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." To live at peace with others, we need to value people as treasures created by God and live in harmony with them. There will be many times that we need to swallow our pride. We need to agree to a disagree instead of judging and condemning each other. We're called to do everything we can do to offer healing and make peace with others. One of the greatest blessings I receive as director of a food pantry that distributes over a ton of food every week in 5.5 hours, I get to pray with hurting people and give them the sense that someone does care about them and that Jesus loves them very much. It took some time to earn that trust. But now many will come to the registration desk and say, "Pastor, I really need your prayers." And they'll explain what's going on to their lives right then. There are times I'll just take their hand and pray for them at the desk. At other times, I may ask someone else to run the desk for me and take that person into my office to pray for them. But the one thing I've learned in 52 years of ministry is not to be judgmental, but to show the love of Christ. No matter how I feel about the situation they find themselves in. Yes, I will try to offer them suggestions and counseling that might improve the situation later on. But at that time, all they need is a caring person that will pray for them. Incidentally, we know who stole the toys. We know all about the family of eight, whose father was just arrested and is awaiting jail, awaiting trial, and yet my coworker who handles all the emergency assistance for the needy, and I have decided that I'll prepare a big Christmas food basket for that mother and her children because they're in desperate need. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. She'll be coming to the pantry tomorrow morning, even though we're closed until January 6th. and I'll get her some food. We get burned at times. You will too. But Jesus and God said not to judge and show them unhatred or hatred, but to show them Christ's love and compassion. God is asking each of us to live at peace with Him, with ourselves, and with others. A father awoke to find that his oldest son had left in the middle of the night. He had snuck off to join Abraham Lincoln's Union Army. The father was filled with grief. He had already lost a beautiful baby during childbirth. His wife had been killed in a horrific accident following several years. He dealt with insurmountable grief, and now his oldest son was going to war. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow prayed every day for his son. His son was eventually wounded, and he came home to recuperate for 4 months. After recuperating, he returned to the army, and just a few days before Christmas, Henry got the news that his son had been killed during a battle. And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow sat down and penned these words after receiving the news of his son's death. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. There may be many of you this morning that need peace. Don't look for it in another person. Don't look for it in a money or a job or a house or any material thing. It can only be found in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. You'll find it in Jesus Christ, and you'll see that other things will fall into their proper place when Christ is the center of your life and of your Christmas. We're called to be peacemakers. In 1974 or 75, while pastoring in Denison, Iowa, the high school asked me to present a concert for the baccalaureate service. And one of the songs I sang that night, that let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, a peace that was meant to be. With God as our Father, brothers all are we. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. May peace on earth begin with us. Father, thank you today for the fact that we can have peace. We can have peace with you. We can have peace with ourselves, and we can have peace with others. But it's only possible through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And Father, there may be those today that really need that peace. They're frustrated. They're at their wit's end. Would you speak to them, showing them that you truly can give them peace? Where their families are broken and there's bickering and fighting and everything else going on, bring peace. Let your Spirit move in our lives, and may we truly be peacemakers. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me.